Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the Horror Club. The Horror Club is a group of individuals who have way too much time on their hands, who like to entertain people like you, who also have way too much time on their hands.
Welcome.
And we are your hosts, Niza
and Frosty.
And this is episode 6
of season 2.
Second Time's the Charm with Alan Z. Oh, if anyone hasn't already noticed, Anna is not here. Anna is sick.
Again.
Yeah, she's sick. And you may have noticed that we had like little to zero activity in December. That's because most of us were all sick.
Except for me, which is why it's most of us, because Frosty was not ill. Frosty is apparently immune to disease.
Right. She's an alien. And she does
that would explain a lot of things if right. I was an alien.
Right. Besides that, though, besides not being active for December and just like busting out holiday shit, you know, because it is the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of holly going around. Lots of.
I'm actually over the holidays because I've been working retail, you know, because I'm a distributor for Columbia now, and so I go into grocery stores like 3 or 4 a day, and all I hear all day is just the Christmas music over and over again. And it's getting to a point where when I go, oh, I'm so over Christmas, like the other employees at the stores are like, you said that last time. And I'm like, just because I said it last time doesn't mean it isn't true.
Well, I guess you're glad that the holidays are over.
I am. Oh my God.
Retail, working retail in the holidays does kind of ruin Christmas for you though. Like just ruins the whole season because the Christmas music, I mean like it's not any normal Christmas music, but it's like the replayed traditional Christmas music over and over and over again. You know, you're going to hear Mariah Carey's Christmas probably like 20 times a day when you're working retail. You guys thought that Christmas was over.
It's not. Apparently it's not. It feels like it hasn't even passed yet. It feels like I'm still living there.
Still living it. Still living the Christmas.
As if it was only December 18th.
Besides doing the holiday stuff, we have been in deep in a game. You and I have been in deep in a game.
Oh, yes, we have. Yeah. That's probably another reason why we haven't recorded, because it's like, so we can record this episode, you can edit this episode, or we can spend 14 hours waiting for our castle to update.
Right, for our keep to update to level 10.
Yeah.
That's right, people. We're playing Game of Thrones Conquest. And if you haven't gotten our friend code yet off our Twitter account, you need to get on and join the horror crew.
Yeah, seriously. We're 26 strong right now, but you know there's people who have over 100,
right?
And we're kind of getting our asses handed to us, so it would be nice.
We need some help.
Yeah,
help me.
By the way, if you don't want to join our crew but you are playing, if you happen to find anybody named Lord Dewey,
murder him. Murder him.
Please feel free to attack that person in the game. He is a troll.
Murder. If you do want to join us on Game of Thrones and you want to make sure that you're on the same server as us, you can download Game of Thrones Conquest. It's a free game on Android. I don't know if it is on Apple, but we're playing on Android base. And you can enter in our friend code. All these letters are capitalized, so R6KKCP. Ronald, 6, kangaroo, cougar, penis.
It's not Horror Club without a penis.
Join us on there. We do have 26 people in our alliance. I'm still trying to get more. And, yeah, we are Hara. It's House a fun of Horror game.
For me.
Fun, it is. Addicting it, game.
Yeah, as much as I hate it, I can't stop playing it.
Yeah, right? So besides all that, this episode's including an interview with one of our artists, Alan Z, and we're talking about one of his EPs called First Time's the Charm. And before we get into that, we want to definitely go ahead and give a shout out to everyone who's been paying attention to our Twitter account, who's been interacting with us throughout the crazy month of December. So definitely shout out to the Potter family and the Castaway crew. Anyone else you want to mention before we head into the interview?
Got to give a hand out to Lex Factor, obviously, our go-to guy. Roman Pod and Cast actually sent us a Christmas card.
What?
Yeah, you didn't get to see it, though, because we haven't hung out because we've been so busy. But, yeah, so big shout-out to Roman Pod and Cast. Thank you for the Christmas card. And sorry about the late happy holidays there. Gotta give a nice shout-out to Drinks with Larry and, of course, our old friends Intellectual Saviors podcast. And Garcer, the cute poet. Shout out to him. Shout out to Jimmy Evans, our longtime friend. Jake and Tom Conquerors. Harry Petsanis, who's always given us the three hearts. Gotta love it.
Right. Each host. For each host.
And Rory M. Spence. Next time you go to the movies, you need to invite me.
Does he live here?
No, Rory actually lives in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's in Glasgow, Scotland.
Ooh, nice Scottish accent. Yeah. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get into the interview with Alan Z. Certified, I'm a rat for you, girl, always. Verified, I don't mind. Blue checks on you, babe. You and I intertwined in my favorite place. Paradise. Our guest today is someone I, Frosty, aka Triple Nipple, would like to call a Triple A.
This is an Asian American artist, our very own Alan Z. Now, you may have already heard of Alan from our previous episodes, as we featured his music numerous times in the show, as well as interviewing him in the previous episode, Hara Goes Z Distance. Please welcome back Alan Z.
Hey, what's up?
Now, Alan, last time we had you on the show, we reviewed your song Pillow Talk and your video Distance. What have you been up to since then?
A lot of stuff. So after Distance, I released like a couple more singles, and then I released the lead single for my EP, Touch and Go. And then I dropped my EP, First Time's the Charm, on October 8th, which is my birthday. And so I've been pushing that pretty hard. Like, I had a release party for it. Like, a lot of people came out. And then I started just doing a lot of shows to promote the EP. I went to Dallas last month. I'm going to be in Atlanta again. And then I got a show in LA on the 17th.
So like you said, Alan, you're performing in L.A. In December 17th with Salvi, Dio, and J.C. Park. And you also previously performed with them in, I think, October, was that right? In Texas?
Yeah.
How has it been performing live?
With them or just...
Yeah, with them. I mean, just with yourself, too. Like, how is it more nerve-wracking or do you just go out there and have a lot of fun?
It's definitely fun for me. Like, I always enjoy performing. I think that's one of the most, I guess, like, relaxing things for me. You know what I mean? Because it's like, that's where I can just kind of like let everything out, you know? I don't really, like, it's not like I perform with them. It's more so like we just share,
a stage.
I guess, like, you know, I guess, in a sense. It's like, you know, they go on and then I go on. You know what I mean? It's not like we perform the same songs. Although me and Salvi did do a song together for a set because I thought it would be cool, you know. So we did that like on the spot. But, you know, I mean, they're friends of mine, so it's like I always like doing stuff with them.
So it was more of like you're all just sharing the stage. You're not like performing together like a K-pop group.
No, dear God, no.
Yeah,
they're doing their own stuff. Yeah, are you finding working with that particular group inspirational?
I mean, I always enjoy working with people that are doing, like, you know, a lot for themselves, you know, whether they're grinding, like, you know, music or fashion, whatever it is. So it's like, I think anybody that has like drive and ambition, like, I always learn from them, you know. So that goes for anybody that I work with that you know, that I either share a stage with or, you know, I've done a song with or whatever the case may be.
Awesome. Thank you. So we did catch your featuring spot on Soul Wave Inc. For those who haven't already, what was it like to be held in the same running as Dumbfounded and Jay Park? Basically, what was it like to be held as a peer in that top five?
I definitely think it's really cool, especially like because I grew up listening to Dumbfounded. I thought it was really cool to be like held in the same conversation. And I always like being in like top five conversations. You know what I mean? I find that very interesting. So for people to have like that high opinion of me, it definitely means a lot.
So I know you did a kind of a diss track where people were kind of comparing you to Jay Park. Is that true? You did kind of do a diss track regarding people comparing
what track
you
are you
to
talking
other
about?
Artists?
No Handouts?
Yeah. Well, I won't really consider that a diss track. It's really not, because it's really a song about myself. But I definitely, like, that song itself was like kind of like me just kind of like letting loose, because it's like basically talking about my struggles in the industry and also kind of like distancing myself away, no pun intended, distancing myself away from, you know, just whatever people compare me to, because that's not me. So it's like whoever gets offended, it's like if the panties fit, wear it. But it's not really like, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to call it diss track, because that would be devaluing what the song is, which is more so a song, you know, pretty much for me. It's basically saying I made it without any like help or any handouts. It's like I struggled my way to the top. That's what the takeaway is for that song.
Okay, so it's not more of a diss track. It's more of an explanation of yourself, or a self description of yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely throw shots at people, and I throw shots at critics and people I don't like. But that just goes with, you know, anything I make that's hip hop related. You know what I mean? Because I always like to, you know, ruffle feathers.
So going from Distance to the new music video on Touch and Go, it kind of seemed to me like it was a part two of Distance.
I think that's a really good fan theory, if that's what, I guess, the theory is. I think, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Distance is included in your album.
It is. It's a fourth track.
Ooh, yeah. Does that mean that your album is a themed album and that it's a whole story?
Sorry, fan theory again. it's totally a legit fan theory. So, First Time's a Charm, like, the concept behind it is, if you were somebody who never heard of me and you need to hear like my songs for the first time, then these will be the seven tracks to give you like the first impression of me. So it's like, it may not be like a complete image of me. It's like a sampler of who I am. So it's like, these are all first impressions, which is why you'll have songs like where I'm just going off like dissing people and then talking about who I am. And then to songs like Touch and Go, where it's more so like a pop song. To, you know, like Color Me Bad, which is like a trap banger, to like, you know, Distance, which is like a sad ballad. You know what I mean? So I have all these different variances of who I am, and it's like the theme is pretty much, you know, kind of getting to know who Alan Z is. And basically what I'm saying is like, I'm gonna charm you the first time around. First Time's a Charm. It's like playing off Third Time's a Charm, but it's like basically saying I don't need three times to do it. The first time's gonna impress you right away.
Oh, nice. See, that's really good to come up with on your first album.
And it's not even an album. So I don't want people to get it twisted and think it's an album. It's an EP. You're good. I call it an album too for people that keep asking what an EP is. So I get annoyed and I'm like, yeah, it's an album, but it's not. It's just pretty much like a, you know, like a sampler. That's why I consider it, or mini album.
So does it go Distance and then Touch and Go, or is Touch and in terms of fan theory, would Distance be going first, or would Touch and Go?
I think Touch and Go is the first track.
No, are we still talking about fan theory or actual
fan
track?
Theory?
Okay. Honestly, because I don't want to give away the actual answer, it can go either way. It makes sense either way.
Because I love fan theory. It seemed to me like since your character got hurt with the distance that was going on between him and his girl, you were kind of like, all right,
Bruce's
I'm tired of being
play
hurt.
The field now.
now I'm gonna play the field.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what it came off of.
Followed that's up actually, by yeah. all of you. Color Me Bad.
Right. That's a very strong theory, and I support that. But I would say if somebody had a contrarian belief that I was playing the field and I found somebody and then it screwed me over, that works as well, you know, in reverse. If I touched and went And then I found someone, and then they stayed. And then I was like, you know, I should have kept touching and going. You know what I mean? Yeah. So either way, the fan theories are supported.
Your EP, First Time's a Charm, is really great. You're showing off a lot of variety. You're using of your vocal range, your rapping skills. We can see that in a lot of these tracks. Now, how do you feel about taking the next step above that? Have you found yourself more inspired, or do you think it's a little more intimidating trying to follow up the tracks that you released on your EP?
I'm definitely not intimidated because, like, I feel like the songs I released on this EP, like, is like a time capsule. Like, that captured what I was feeling from, like, 2014 to 2017. And what I plan to do with the EP is I want to have a video for every single track. So, like, when people always ask me, like, if I'm coming out with, like, a new project, and it's, like, it's almost offensive to me because I'm, like, I literally dropped something a month ago. So what I plan to do is release a new music video and then drop another video from, you know, to accompany a song, the EP, so that pretty much if you look at my YouTube, when I'm done with it, I'll have, like, a portfolio for First Time's a Charm. So from track one to track seven, it's all music videos, you know what I mean? So that's how I plan to, you know, like when Beyonce did Lemonade, you know.
Oh, so many fan theories. So many fan
I plan to do like themes for different one, each one, you know, so there could be like little symbolism and stuff like that to, you know, tie fan theories together.
Sweet. That's cool. I would love that. That'd just be really amazing because I don't know, I'm like a big musical person. Like, I love stories that are basically told through song. So it's like every time I see a band, I sometimes like to just match up all the music videos together, you know, and pretend like it's a whole dang story going on there.
Yep.
You know, so that is great that you're going to do a music video for each track on the EP. So then I can just piece it together, and I'm excited now.
That's awesome. Yeah.
In regards to Touch and Go again with the video, where, you know, your character, I guess we'll call it, he's dating multiple people at the same time. Do you approve of that behavior in real life? You know, like, are you, like, down with people, like, basically playing the field, trying to feel it out? Or do you think that you should, do you think people should just find that one and then keep moving until that one doesn't work out?
I honestly feel like people should do whatever they feel is right to them. I'm not anyone to give the authority on what's right or wrong. So that's how I feel about it.
I feel as long as question was kind of more of a relationship advice question.
Yeah, I know. I'm not like a relationship guru. So
I'm crazy.
No, so that's the best answer I can give for that.
She's like, are you telling me to play the field?
Well, like, that's usually what I mean, it's fan theory, you know?
Right.
The character was hurt, and then he's like, well, fuck it, I'm not going to get hurt, I'm going to keep going. But do you think that, because I've noticed that some other artists will do songs sometimes like that, where they talk about, oh, I'm with this chick, but I got my side chick, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that something that's kind of, I mean, because you did say that some of your songs are based off of, you know, your personality from that past time period, not current, you know, because we did say that. Is that, like, do you think that just makes for an interesting song, or was that actually something that you had done in the past?
I think that's something more so like fantasy, because I think a lot of times people forget, like, when you make songs, like, there's that reality part of you, and then there's, like, the entertainment side. And I think, especially with this PC age, people forget, like, artists sometimes just like to do crazy stuff. And so I think with those kind of stories, I feel like would definitely be like, hey, I wrote the song. It's like a scene in a movie. You know what I mean? So that's how I feel about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, is it something that had happened in the past, or is it something that you're just doing for entertainment value?
It would definitely be for entertainment value. Like, crazy stuff, like, I feel like will be more so like to capture, like, you know, kind of like a visual component. You know what I'm saying? Like, kind of like a short film in a sense, you know? Because I'm really into just writing stories and stuff like that. But it's like, if it gets really personal, you'll know it's me, you know? But if it's something where it seems like, okay, it's like a narrative, it's like, okay, it's probably something for, like, fan theories, you know?
Right.
I mean, I'm saying that word a lot since you brought it up.
What I wanted to kind of clear on that is, like, with Distance, it did I did get that personal aspect from you. And then touch and go, I mean, it could kind of flow together, but I didn't feel basically the same connection to you as I did on distance, if that makes sense, because I was
Like, I mean, touch and go was really, okay, so the touch and go was really more so like me making a really fun song. Like, I don't know if you guys know, but like I wrote that song, like the hook for it in 2013. So it's like, it was, it's like a year, a song that was like 4 years in, 3 years in the making, you know? So it's like a song, it's a song that I had to do because it was like everyone at the time knew it. Like whenever I performed, they knew the song, even when I didn't have it out yet, you know? It was like being bootlegged, bootlegged around and stuff like that. So it was like, I had to do that song so I can kind of let it go in a sense, you know, like it was like, it was like one of those things where I was like, I wrote that hook and I was like, oh my God, I'm like, I might be like onto something in terms of like my ability to write hooks and create songs. So for me, it's, that was, Touch and Go was a very important song to me because it was like, okay, I know what it takes to write something super catchy that could break on radio, you know?
So like you said before, it's a little bit of everything. This EP, First Time's a Charm, is just kind of like a little bit of everything. A little bit of every part of you from, you know, the harsh, like Discriminated. That's a great track. I love that track, as well as No Handouts. I love the rapping that you do in those two tracks. And with Discriminated, it was very, I felt it, you know, it was, and you can tell that was, that's one of the tracks that when people listen to it, they know that's you.
And I'm really excited for you guys to see the video for that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. But no, I definitely, I think that's one of my personal favorites too, because I don't think I ever had like a song to really talk about like what I went through as a, like a child and stuff like that. So I think Discriminated was a really important like song to have in my portfolio, you know? Like it, I feel like it wasn't just a song for me. Like if you listen to the hook and it's like, you know, people, anyone can relate to that, that feeling of being like treated differently for, you know, what you look like who you are, you know what I mean? So I felt like it was a very like universal type of song.
Right.
Not in a corny way, but it's in a way where it's like it hits you.
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah. I mean, I get it all the time where, I mean, cause you know, like I'm a quarter Asian, but then like I'll get people who like, they don't want to associate with me because they're like, well, you're not Asian enough. And then I'm pretty sure Nisa probably gets like, oh, you little China girl.
I get I get the Asian women are docile.
And Nisa's not docile. So I'm pretty sure when she heard that, she's like, yeah.
Right.
Now, I did have a question. The track All of You, is that, that's for your fans, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So that was actually the first song that I made with Chops. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he was, okay, quick story. So he was part of the Mountain Brothers back in the 90s, and they were the first Asian American group to sign with a major label. After they disbanded, he became a producer for like a lot of like artists like Kanye West, Nicki Minaj, Bun B, Young Jeezy, Dumbfounded. So we were just talking like this year, and I just kind of mentioned to him, I was like, hey, I'm working on this, you know, on some music. And then so I didn't even think about like him being on my project because it was so far fetched for me for him to like be a part of it, you know. So he was just like, hey, let me just send you some music, like casually, you know what I mean? So All of You was the first song we did, and it was like I like sent him a voice note of like the hook, and he liked it like a lot. So when I recorded the song, like he pretty much reproduced the beat for me so it would fit my vocals. So you know, that was like a big honor for me.
That's awesome.
Nice. Are you finding a lot of help with other Asian artists or other artists in general now that you brought out your EP and that you're doing shows and all that? Are you finding doors are now opening for you, or are you starting to feel like doors are now opening for you in this area since released the EP?
I feel like the people that have always been showing me love have been, you know, are continuing to showing me love, and then the people that pretty much see me as a threat, they're still not going to show me love. So it's like there are Asians that, like, you know, definitely ride for me. Like, you know, I work with Chops. I did, I work with, you know, Jason Chu, like from LA. We did Yellow Diddy. Shogun is a really good friend of mine. Like he's from New York, but he lives in Cali now. But I mean, like, I feel like Atlanta definitely like rides for me as far as like my city. So it's like, I definitely see a lot of love coming from where I'm at. But as far as the Asian community, I've never really had like that kind of backbone, you know? So it is what it is. I was, you know, I know how it goes. So it's like, and as far as like other Asian artists, it's like I've never looked to them to find any kind of support or whatever. So it's like, you know.
So you just flying solo.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, because I make my own moves, and it's like, yeah. I'm not part of any, like, Asian cliques or whatever. I've never been super Asian. So, like you said, I'm not Asian enough for a lot of them. So,
I don't think we're Asian enough for other people either.
Right. So.
Nah, I don't think we are. But you're definitely coming off more as an American artist than a AAA, then, you would say.
Well, I mean, I actually like the AAA, like, concept, but... I think, like, my goal eventually is to become, like, is to transcend, like, that label, in a sense. I know that sounds weird, because a lot of people nowadays are so, obsessed with racial identity, and I'm not knocking being Asian American, because that's what I stand for, but I'm saying, like, when you get so big as an artist that people just see you as an artist, like, when we think Kanye West, Eminem, like, all these legends, even though we know what race they are, the first thing we think of them is them as a person, and so... That's the one I want to be. I don't want to be, like, known as, oh, he's good for an Asian guy. You know what I mean? I don't want him to be, like, oh, Asian, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like, yeah, it's cool, but it's, like, Alan Z, like, that's who I want you to know first, you know? It's just me as a person, as a human being, you know?
Yeah, that's funny that you mentioned Eminem, because I was actually talking to a friend about him a little earlier today, where we were basically, like you said, we're how Eminem is a white artist, but... Mm-hmm. Like, when you mention Eminem, you just think of him for his music. You don't think of him as a white artist. But I'm pretty sure in the early days, that's what everybody would be like. Oh, you're a pretty good rapper for a white boy.
Right.
You know, yeah, he talked about that. And he hated white boy. And like, the thing is, like, I'm pretty sure you guys know, like, Eminem is, like, my biggest influence and inspiration and hero. And so it's like he went through the same thing I did in terms of the racism and discrimination. You know, it's like... people wouldn't give him a shot because of his color. So it's like, I know that firsthand more than anyone, you know? And like you said, like people would like clown him and be like, oh yeah, look at this white guy rapping, you know, cause it wasn't common. Same thing as they'll apply that like novelty concept to like an Asian dude, you know? And it's annoying, but it's like someone has to break through. And I think this whole race thing, it's like, it's only like, it hurts you until it becomes your superpower. You know, so it's like right now, it's like this can be like my one thing that like stops me from reaching like superstar status. But it's like if I can conquer this and beat the final boss, like if they were talking about like a game, then it's like it becomes like my super strength in a sense of it's like he did what no one expected him to do. You know, so that's how I kind of have to think about it.
So right now you're a AAA, but pretty soon you're going to transcend that and just be a AA.
or just Alan, I guess. Yeah.
Alan. That should be one of your next albums you do
Just Alan.
Just Alan.
So that's gonna be a pretty like self-loathing sad album, but yeah, I'll give that a thought.
Self-loathing though is amazing. I mean, I know it's painful and all that, but when you write songs about self-loathing, like, those are the most rich and the most deep ones. The ones that speak to me, I'm all about that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So you've mentioned that First Time the Charm is an EP, not an album. Do you have any plans to release an actual album in the near future?
I do, but I don't feel like it's time for me to do that yet, because I think, like, the album is, like, such a big title to hold, you know? So it's like I want to build up to that. So at this point, I'm still learning about myself and like learning how to put like the best pieces of work together. And I'm still building my buzz. That's like the biggest thing. So it's like I want to do like experimental stuff like EPs and like collaborative projects and side projects just so I can kind of like hone that sound and hone that audience that I want before I actually do like a debut album, you know? Mm-hmm. So after First Time's a Charm, like even though I'm going to be obviously pushing this like still like, you know, from this year to the next, the next thing I'm working on right now, you guys are actually the first people to hear about it, to hear me say it, but I'm working on a compilation album with a couple people that in my crew, Savage Native. So it's gonna be mainly me and Taj and then a couple of other people in our collective. So it's gonna be like pretty much me introducing like people on my team. Because, you know, people always hear me saying Savage Native. Savage Native is, like, you know, my clothing line. But it's, like, we're actually, like, a group of, like, friends and artists and stuff like that, you know, that people don't really know about. So it's like, it's kind of like when Eminem introduced D12 in a sense.
Sweet. So you're getting your own little community out there and trying to help introduce them while promoting yourself as well. That's
exactly
cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you're not one of those who just want to release an album. Like, you want to hone your skill first, because it works for some people. They can, you know, release an album and then it'll gain, you know, some slack or whatever, but you being more experimental with the EPs and then the collaborations and all that, that's actually really good because it gets your name out there. And then it also frees you up for that moment when you're ready to bust out, you know, and then just be like, here's the album. Here,
exactly. I agree.
Like, I am a flipping professional.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like that. That's really good.
Thank you.
And I hope that day comes very soon for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That would be amazing. So your skit video, can we talk about that a little bit?
Which one?
Oh, your skit video that you did, the comedy video?
Yeah, I did one. I think it was That's What She Said, and I did another one where it was about...
That's the one that I watched,
yeah.
So I did that when I was in San Jose this summer. So I have a couple friends like that are like YouTubers in like that field, like in the Bay. So they just like, we just did a bunch of videos. So I think that was like one of like many, you know. So that's like a side that I really enjoy as far as like, you know, like showing people, like as far as acting and comedy and stuff like that.
It's not always serious.
yeah.
That's pretty good. Well, that's also cool that you're, you know, you're able to do like the sketch comedy there with J Chris TV and J Crisis TV.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon language, bad. And then how do you say Jay's last name?
Wynn. Well, I mean, that's his name. Are you talking about Jonathan Wynn or Wirtor you're talking about? Or are you talking about the other dude, JRNB? That's just his moniker.
Oh, that's like just his moniker. Yeah. Okay, JRNB. Yeah. Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
And then is that Howie?
Yeah, Howie. Mm-hmm.
Howie, okay, cool. Just wanted to check up, make sure that I got those names right for the people that you did that one video with. So do you plan on doing more sketch comedy or more acting in the future?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm actually trying to build like a skit team in Atlanta. It's just everyone's really like not reliable, so which is why I just haven't been, you know. But I have like tons of ideas, and I actually act like in real life. Like I acted in Star season one, and I was in Being Mary Jane, and I'm doing a couple web series. So you know, it's definitely like a second passion of mine.
Nice. Are you planning on doing any maybe independent films in the future?
Oh, definitely. I really want to, actually. Yeah. It just, I mean, that's going to be, like, such a huge, like, time thing. So, and it has to be the right project. So, but I definitely want to, though, especially to build my reel and stuff like that.
That's definitely cool. I was just about to ask, like, what would you like to dabble in other than music?
But definitely acting. Like, I mean, that's a huge passion of mine. It's just that music came first.
Do you think that you'll perhaps maybe write, act, and then perform the music in perhaps a skit or independent film someday?
I definitely see that happening, for sure.
Yeah. Do you have do you maybe have an idea of what your first one might be?
I feel like it'd be too early to tell you guys. Like, I want to make it happen first. Yeah.
Okay. I know me and Niza are always planning on doing certain stuff like that. What was it, Niza's like serial killers or something like that?
Yeah.
Serial killers. And then he's quiet, like, shit, they're gonna murder me.
Oh no.
So what's next after First Time's the Charm? Like, are you planning a new EP soon? Besides the collaboration with Native?
Savage Native. Yeah. I'm gonna focus on the Savage Native projects first. And then I'll probably work on like maybe like another mini album after that. But I wanna do it like one thing at a time. So like right now it's like pushing First Time's a Charm, doing all these shows, doing these music videos, and then starting on the Savage Native project, which is something I've wanted to do for a very long time. Especially because with this project, I feel like Savage Native is gonna be way more fun for me because there's no like limitations. I don't have to go into the mindset like, oh, I wanna make a song for the girls, I wanna make songs for radio. This is me just wanting to rap. It's like rapping competitively with my friends. So it's like a very fun project, you know, so.
Are you going to like rap battle each other?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to ruin the project.
Oh, okay.
Everything's, you know, the possibilities are endless.
I just wanted to tell Alan that I think my favorite track in your EP has to be Windows Tinted.
Oh, thank you.
Windows Tinted.
Thank you.
It's a body rolling song, and I think everybody should check it out.
Yeah. It's funny because I was literally like, I forgot to mention one track, and that was the only one we forgot to talk about.
Right.
So that's funny. So I like that one too.
Yeah.
So that was like the only pure, like, 90s R&B song I had.
Right.
It's like an obligatory.
R&B, like, your vocals were great and that amazing. Like, you did really good ranging in there. It's a track that I think it's like one of those tracks that might not get a lot of mention, but it's like a real, like, if you actually get to listen to it, it's a real treasure to listen to.
Exactly. I think it's like one of those like deep album cuts.
Right.
When you listen, you're like, oh, this is actually really good.
Like, yeah. Hold up a second.
Right. Am I pregnant now? Yeah, it's one of those.
That's
good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, Niz is big into shoulder dancing to that one. She loves her body roll songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and have Alan introduce his song for the listeners.
What's up? This is Alan Z. You're now listening to The Horror Club. You're about to check out my track Touch and Go for my latest EP, First Time's a Charm. Tell me if you want it. Yeah. Girl, if you're down for one night, you ain't gotta be my girl. We can touch and go. Touch and go, let me know if you're down for just one night. You ain't gotta be my girl. We can touch and go. Touch and go, let me know if you're down for just one night. We ain't gotta be official. No. I just wanna get with you. Girl. Long as I can caress you. No, got that 38 special love. And I ain't even gotta text you. All the time for you to know that it's real. Ain't nobody gotta know about us. When we in the cut, I'ma make you lose it. We'll touch and go long as you bring that back. Hitting notes like that, we'll be making more than music. You ain't gotta be. Just one night. You ain't gotta be my girl. We can touch and go. Touch and go, let me know if you're down for just one night. Girl, I don't wanna stress you out. I wanna sex you up. Make it last forever. Let that feeling of ecstasy come to us. And if you don't tell us all, nobody has to know. Nobody has to know. Touch and go long as you bring that back. Hitting notes like that, we'll be making more than music. You ain't gotta be my girl. We can touch and go. Touch and go, let me know if you're down for just one night. You ain't gotta be my girl. We can touch and go. Touch and go, let me know if you're down for just one night.
Baby, let's rendezvous. Be my Beyonce, boo, then go our separate ways on day two. Even if we never see each other, ever keep in touch, cause tonight we really need each other in the heat of lust. So let's make it count, 24 hours left. See, I was left alone till you came out all dressed to kill some time with the player when I caught your eye. Walking by, made me want us to walk and by. A fantasy life together, but you know I gotta go. Baby, on the road lately, hustling, performing shows daily, but you're gon' remember my name. My loving so crazy, you wish down a memory lane. You was my old lady, cause I'm a smooth criminal with a lot of Billie Jeans. The way I beat it, make it scream like you in the thriller scene. And no pain, no gain, I make it slow this time. A stroke game, Cobain, it'll blow your mind.
You ain't gotta be my girl. We can touch and go.
Touch and go, let me know if you're down for just one night.
You ain't gotta be my girl. We can touch and go.
Touch and go, let me know if you're down for just one night.
Now for a commercial break.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Right? Maybe.
You're listening to The Horror Club, which is not brought to you by the following message.
Cutting edge. Insightful. Entertaining.
All stuff you will not hear about Cox News Podcast.
Every week I podcast about stuff I read about in the news that makes me wonder, how do journalists get jobs? How do TV personalities get paid? And most importantly, how can I tell you something you may not have heard about before and make you laugh at the same time and definitely make you roll your eyes? I'm Jason Cox. Thank you for listening to the Cox News Podcast, available on iTunes and the Podbean app.
Hey, do you like movies?
Hey, do you like podcasts?
If you do, then come on down and listen to the Home Video Hustle Podcast, homie.
Hustle, hustle.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Well, every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I pick a bunch of movies at random. Sometimes there's a theme to it, sometimes not. PJ picks the movie up, and guess what? We watch it on Friday. We talk about it for about maybe an hour, hour and a half, whatever we feel like doing. Might give you something good to watch, baby. Come on down every Friday.
So come get your hustle on with Home Video Hustle.
You can find the show on any podcatcher app, or you can come down to homevideohustle.podbean.com. All of them in one place for you, so you can go ahead and binge it like it's Netflix. We ain't the defenders. But I like to think we a little bit better than that. Come holler at your boys, man. Come chill with us. Peace.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Ellen, and I'm scared we exist in the Matrix.
I'm Jaslyn, and I'm bad at ad-libbing.
And you're listening to High Expectations, the promo. For our international listeners, you can appreciate our cute New Zealand accents. For our local listeners, you might bump into us in the street 3 times in the same hour. Our podcast is about pop culture,
sexuality,
relationships,
interesting hobbies,
banter, and ragging on each other.
You can find us on
Apple Podcasts,
SoundCloud,
Pocket Casts,
Podcast Addict,
or anywhere you might like to find podcasts.
Yay, please subscribe.
Goodbye.
Hi guys, we interrupt your favorite podcast to interrupt you with an ad for your new favorite podcast.
Wait, isn't this playing on somebody else's show?
Exactly.
So then how are we? I thought we were their new favorite podcast.
Well, we're going to become their new favorite podcast after they hear this advertisement for our show. What's our show called, Justine?
Superiority Complex.
Yeah. Where can they find us, Patrick?
Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. You can go to @SoupComplex on Twitter, S-O-U-P Complex, and you can go to Facebook.com/SoupComplex. But our main page is on Podbean, and you can find us there at www.SuperiorityComplex.podbean.com. New episodes are out every Thursday. Justine.
Yes.
What do we talk about on the Superiority Complex?
Nerdy stuff.
Perfect.
Don't get all sensual with your voice.
Yeah, did you hear that?
I heard it. It's a little inappropriate.
If you want to hear a little more of that, tune in to the Superiority Complex. One more time, Justine, what do we talk about?
Nerdy stuff.
Nah, wasn't the same. You tried.
What's up? This is Jared.
And Jake from Hashtag Blackout Podcast.
And when we're not talking about cultural issues and hip-hop,
or random foolishness going on in the pop culture world,
we're listening to our favorite K-pop podcast, The Horror Club,
and learning about new groups such as
Blackpink,
BTS,
Girls' Generation,
and Super Junior, and also learning new words and phrases such as
Oma,
Sunbae, and our favorite phrase of all time, Dong Saya Day.
And you should listen too. And on that note, we're blacking out because we have to go take a
Dong Saya Day.
And now we're back. I hope everyone enjoyed our interview and game with Alan Z, and hope that everyone will go ahead and purchase this EP. We've included the links in the description with this episode.
His blood, sweat, epithelias are on them. That's right. I went CSI on that.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. It's for the game. Apparently my farm finished building.
I know, right? I check my phone every couple of seconds. I'm like, is gathering done? Am I done gathering yet?
Huey just took out a bunch of my men, so I'm waiting for
Game
them to heal.
Of fucking Thrones. Yeah. Why? Because awesomeness. That's why I answer my own question.
Exactly, because it's Game of Thrones.
Right. So I guess we're gonna do a movie reviews of two movies that Frosty and I have seen in the month of December, and of course one of those movies is Star Wars. But first, what?
Okay, I was about to freak out on you because I'm like, don't do Star Wars first. but then you came in with the first
you're gonna review a movie that we have waited to watch, and we got to see a screening of during this month, which was The Shape of Water. Now, for those who don't know what The Shape of Water is, where the fuck have you been?
Seriously.
Shape of Water is a movie directed by Guillermo del Toro, and it is a love beyond words.
It kind of reminds me of Splash if the roles were reversed.
Right. So it's about this lady who's mute. She's kind of isolated. She works. She's a cleaning lady in this, like, government laboratory. And she basically, like, just goes home and goes to work.
And then she hangs out with her GBF.
Right.
And they watch old movies from the golden age of Hollywood.
That's right. So I guess we're going to put spoilers in here, because just spoiler warning now, you know, just in case we slip up and say something important, you might want to just stop listening now, because these two reviews are probably going to talk about a lot of things. There's going to be a lot of spoilers. Now, the time frame for this movie is about the 60s. And so Eliza works in a, you know, secret government laboratory. And then, like, a mysterious scaled creature is brought in a water tank.
An amphibian man.
Right. Swamp Man. Mr. Swamp Man.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
This movie is not a movie for children. Don't bring your children to this.
No. It pretty much lets you know right away that this is not a movie for children. Like, right away. Right away. It's like, oh, she's got her routine down.
Right. She has a strong routine from boiling eggs in the morning, running a bathtub, and jerking off in the bathtub, and then going to work.
Well, you know, sometimes you need to relieve the tension before work by jerking your gherkin.
So, I mean, like, as we're watching this movie, when we walk into this movie, we're thinking, we're talking bestiality, you know, we're expecting it, like, it's gonna happen. If it doesn't happen, we riot.
It's like, we paid for bestiality. Show us the bestiality. The movie did not disappoint.
No, movie did not disappoint at all. So, just letting you guys know now, you're getting what you expected when you saw the movie trailer. You're going in the movie, you're getting what you came for.
You know what's funny, though, is, and this must say something about me and how fucked up I am, because, I mean, as much as I liked the Amphibian Man, the one who really made me hot was Michael Shannon and his misogynistic shit. You know, like, just how obsessed he was with her.
You would. I just,
you know?
He played a really good bad guy, though. He was
he always plays wonderful bad guys.
Right, but he was just...
But he also plays really, really good misunderstood good guys, too.
Right.
You know, he's just a terrific actor all around, and he's definitely ranking, you know, up in my list of favorite actors. But yeah, like, when I saw him come on the screen, because I actually didn't know he was going to be in this movie, I think I was just too caught up in the Amphibian Man to notice anybody else. And then all of a sudden, you know, Michael Shannon comes on, and I'm like, oh, that guy! I'm like, he's going to play somebody good! And yeah, he did not disappoint at all.
Right. This movie is a fantasy love story to remember. You know, I'm going to buy this movie.
I'm buying this movie, too.
This is how much I enjoyed this movie. This is like, to some people, this would be really weird. But mm-hmm. to folks who are, like, fans already. Of, you know, creatures and, like,
fantasy
and romance. It hasn't really, you know, Beauty and the Beast crossed that. You know, they were like, she's going to fall in love with the Beast, you know? Mm-hmm. But then he turns into a prince. In this one,
he don't turn into no prince.
He don't turn into no prince. She loves him for him.
And he loves her for her.
For who she is.
And I also want to mention another spoiler that was pretty interesting. So Eliza and the amphibian man, as he's called, get it on.
many times.
And her best friend finds out because Eliza's walking around with a skip in her step.
Right.
And, you know, best friends can just smell it when you're happy. They're like, who are you fucking? You know?
You're fucking somebody.
So she can't tell her friend how the sex was. So she has to show her via sign language. Now, her friend has seen this creature. And outside, this creature does not have a penis. So she's kind of like, how the fuck did you have sex with it? It don't have no penis. And then Eliza does this movement with her hands where she kind of cups them into a shell and then makes one of her fingers poke out. And it was just so funny to me and like one of my favorite parts of the movie just because of how naughty it was without being naughty. Like I felt violated by that. It was, that's how funny it was. It was like,
wow. Frosty
I
was violated.
I got pregnant off of that. You know, like it was just so provocative without being provocative
like there wasn't any like serious nudity in it. There wasn't any pornographic scenes, you know, that were actually shown. It was like a lot of implied. And it was tasteful.
Yeah, it definitely was tasteful.
Right.
It was tasteful because I think Guillermo knew what he was doing. He wanted to make it a love story that did not
gross people out.
Exactly.
Made people probably feel weird, but not gross.
But then you also felt a little bit like, ew, but oh.
Yeah, okay. Ew, but ooh.
Ew, I don't, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I get it.
Okay. Well, yeah, wasn't that what I said when we first got to see the creature's right. face? I was like, yeah, I'd do it.
So, one of the only complaints that I had in that movie, I loved the creature, and I loved his like you know body, his costume and everything. The only thing that I did not enjoy about the creature was his eyes.
You didn't like his eyes?
No, they seemed too childish.
What do you mean childish? Like he looked like a child?
Yeah, like his eyes looked like a child.
Well, I think the reason that they did that was to convey his innocence.
Maybe, but I wasn't sure I liked it too much. Where like
you want like strong Michael Shannon eyes,
right? But it didn't throw me off or anything. It was just the one thing where I was like, his eyes could have been better.
Like when I look into his eyes, I don't want to see the wonderment of a child. I want to see strong, powerful.
Right.
That's
exactly what it was. I don't want to see like the wonder of an innocent child in his eyes. I want to see like a creature who's a fucking king in his underwater world. You know what I mean?
He kind of did that in the end, but I think the main point of his childlike eyes was she did say, or rather sign, when he looks at me, he doesn't know I'm broken. And right. I think that's why he had that childish look in his eyes, because he had to look at her like she was the most beautiful thing in the world.
Maybe.
Well, they say to children that there are no seven wonders in the world, there are 7 million.
Yeah.
So
if you sat and listened to our review, you obviously know already that we're raving about it. We love this movie. Giving it a 5 stars. I'm definitely buying it.
Yes.
It's definitely going on a repeat watch. It's going to be a classic.
It is. Tale as old as time.
It's a piece of art.
True as it can be.
So beautiful. and classical.
Both of you are wet. And when the clamshell opens, now there's a penis suddenly.
Oh, that's good. Oh. All right. So let's get to
Star Wars.
One of the most grossing movies in the box office, hitting right before Christmas time.
Oh, God. Can we say it? This was the sexiest Star Wars movie ever!
Star Wars The Last Jedi. Man.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
The movie theater was packed. And I saw it the day after it came out. It was packed, and it was worth every moment.
It was.
Let's just say it now. 5 stars. Because you know why? Star Wars.
Star Wars. And Kylo Ren's erect nipples.
I don't know if we should spoil this movie for people. It's just like, you need to go see it. You need to go see it.
Especially... By now, they've already seen it.
Okay.
So we can spoil it.
I try to save you guys for those who haven't seen it.
Yeah, so if you have not seen it already by this point and you're listening to this episode, there is something seriously wrong with you. And you're going to get spoilers because there's no way for us to do a review of this movie without spoilers. As cleared by the directness of Kylo Ren's nipples pointed at my heart.
Right. And like we predicted, here we go. We're getting into it. Like we predicted in previous episodes, we wanted to see Rey and Kylo.
Together.
And you know what? It wasn't like complete togetherness. But it was the beginning of something. Yeah, exactly.
There may be something there that wasn't before.
How did you read my mind?
Because I'm your best friend.
Seriously, though. It was like the most romantic beginning of a relationship ever.
Yes, I loved it. I loved it.
And they found a way. Okay, so I knew when the last Star Wars came out, not Rogue One, but the last one.
Force Awakens,
yeah. When Finn gets introduced, and I was really rooting for, you know, a Finn and Rey at first. Because I felt bad for Finn. But in this episode, they found a solution. So now I can focus on Kylo and Rey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyways, after we're done gushing, here's basically the plot of the movie. If you have not already seen it, even though we've pretty much spoiled everything. Rey has found Luke Skywalker, and she is now trying to tell him, dude, you gotta come help the Resistance. We gotta defeat Kylo Ren and Supreme Leader Snoke. Luke basically says, fuck off. I came to this planet to die.
I'm gonna die here.
He basically said, get off my lawn.
Right? He became an old crotchety man.
Which is funny, because you would have thought Han Solo would have been that. But I digress. Luke is the old crotchety hermit man.
Right.
Who is probably still in love with his sister. I'm just saying.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Weird. You tongued your sister, dude. Anyways, one of the biggest secrets that we find out is where blue milk comes from.
Right. Gross.
Gross.
Gross. Even Rey had to look away.
Yep, even Rey was like, ew. Well, anyways, after Luke and Rey have their little chitty chat and she convinces him to train her, some mysterious shit starts to happen. She and Kylo start a weird, and sorry for the Star Trek reference, but they start a weird Vulcan mind-melding thing.
where they
can see each other. He can see her in his world. She can see him in her world. And he even makes a direct reference to the fact that he can only see her. He can't see where she is.
Right, right.
And at the beginning, of course, she is very hostile towards him. Like, you killed Han Solo.
I'm going to murder you.
I hate your guts. You're a monster. And then, you know, in pure girl and bad boy get together, she eventually begins to sympathize with him as he does with her and understands right. that they are both damaged goods, and perhaps together they can rebuild something wonderful.
Right.
Which they almost fucking do. They touch tips, but then Luke spoils it.
Tip touch it.
And then basically goes, no, not the tips. Terrible.
Just yep. the tips.
Just the tips. Just the tips. Anyways, Luke spoils it for them. But in the process of teaching and telling Rey about Ben Solo's downfall, she begins to sympathize with Kylo / Ben Solo's predicament. Not only that, but she starts to refer to Kylo Ren as Ben Solo. And it's basically the point where you can tell she's fallen for him. When she stops calling him Kylo and she starts calling him Ben.
Uh-huh. There's a That's very...
She knows.
Before all that, though, there's a very steamy scene. That
oh, that's right.
When they're... When they're going through that mind meddling.
That's right.
Their she own little world.
She's had a very bad conversation with Luke and she's pissed off at the world. And then she basically says, I'd rather not do this right now. And then off camera you hear, yeah, me neither. And then quick pan over, Kylo Ren, be topless. And not only that, he has an 8-pack.
I love that line though. Can you, like, put something on?
And what does he do? He doesn't.
He just stares at her, though.
He just stays there walking around. You know what I think?
Stares at her.
I think he knew it was going to happen again eventually.
He was hoping
he
for
purposely
it.
Took it. He purposely took his shirt off and was walking around.
You know he was like working that. Out, too, because he was all sweaty.
Yeah.
All glistening.
He's like, I'm going to do some pull-ups next time I see her. He just finished doing his pull-ups, and then he's like, God damn it, she was supposed to see me while I was doing my exercises. But yeah, Kylo Ren is shredded.
Shredded. True.
Shredded. Got an 8-pack.
Damn,
yep. Right. And you know Rey was into it, too.
Oh, yeah, she was. That's why she was like, could you, like
can you cover up? I can't deal. I can't deal with this right now.
Or something.
You know what? I can't wait for SNL to make fun.
Yes! You know it's going to happen too.
You know she's going to be like biting her lip and then like, can I touch? You know? or they'll do something funnier where he's on the toilet or something.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
then he's like pooping while they're talking. You know SNL's going to do something.
When you know the relationship is real.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it was good. It was good.
So good. But anyways, so Rey basically realizes Luke is not going to leave the island to come help her. So she decides in her infinite wisdom, I'm going to be the one to save Ben Solo. And what I think is really funny is when she gets into the escape pod and lands on Emperor Snoke's ship, who is the first person she sees? Who makes sure that he is the first person that she sees? Kylo stands right there as the doors open.
So romantic.
And then, of course, the stormtroopers come. And I think he did that as a way to sort of, what do you call it?
Show her that he's there.
Yes, that he's there, that he's going to protect her, that they're not going to harm her.
Right.
I think that's why he did that. And then, of course, he escorts her in the elevator to Emperor Snoke, and then when Emperor Snoke begins to torture her for the information on where Luke is, when he does not get that information, or no, he did get that information. So basically when Rey has proved her usefulness, and she's basically garbage, like he can't change the way that she is, she's too into the light, he orders Kylo, kill her. And what happens instead? Kylo kills Snoke.
Right.
And then
there's an epic battle scene.
And then the two fight side by side, backs bumping into each other. It's
hands
an erotic
touching.
Hands touching, flippity flops.
Intimate stares.
Intimate stares. Oh my gosh, you could tell he was concerned for her well-being when they were fighting.
So
you know, like
romantic.
He's battling three of them at the same time. Meanwhile, he keeps looking over at her as she's struggling with the one, trying to make sure that she's going to be okay.
Oh, the thought just hit my head. Do you think that they're going to bring back the famous saying, I love you, I know.
I know. You know what would be great? If he says, I love you.
Right.
And she says, I know.
Yes.
And then they kiss.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Of course they leave it at a cliffhanger for Kylo and Rey.
Well, here's why they leave it at a cliffhanger. Kylo and Rey have defeated the Emperor Snoke's guards. Kylo is now the head of the First Order. And he now has the opportunity to tell all of the Empire to stop attacking the rebels. What does he do instead? He says, nah, babe, let's just kill everybody, and then you and I can start a new galaxy together. And then she basically says, nah, boo, I just think of you as a friend.
It's not like that. It was like,
nah, I know.
Nah, but boo, I like my froyo the way it is.
Yeah. Like, I'm not ready to commit to a relationship where you take over my whole life yet.
Nah, boo, I like no sprinkles on my froyo. Not now. Yeah. Maybe next time.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
But another thing that I love is he knows about her struggle with finding out who her parents are. And in famous unhealthy relationship fashion, he basically tries to break her down by going, you're nothing. You came from nothing. You know, your parents were nothing. They were nobody, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, you're nothing. But then he goes, but not to me.
I know, right? I was like, whoa. He just pulled the fucking ultimate bad boy asshole card. And then yep. Flipped it over. It was, like, meaningful.
Mm-hmm. And then not only that, he showed vulnerability by when he held out his hand to her and she was a little hesitant. He says, please, in this.
Oh, God.
And yes,
that's the noise that I made. It almost made you want to cry.
That's the noise that I made. But what does she do? She does not join him. Instead, they
she
fight over
away.
His lightsaber. Instead, they fight over his lightsaber. They break it. He gets knocked out from the Force. She gets back on the Millennium Falcon and saves her friend.
But you know what? You know what? She loves him, though, because she left him there and she knew he was still alive.
That's right. She didn't kill him. She let him stay there.
She had the opportunity. She didn't do it.
She knew that when he got back up, he was going to come after her. She could have ended the First Order right there by killing him. She didn't do it.
The romance.
So romance, so beautiful. And then I love how he's angry and he's telling Luke, he's like, I'm gonna kill you and then I'm gonna kill her. And then Luke's like, nah, bro, you love her. You ain't gonna do it.
Right, no, you're not gonna do it, brah. Like
blows right. Yeah, and then you think it's because he's not strong enough to do it. But then towards the end of the movie there is one final mind meld where you see him. Where you see Kylo and Rey staring at each other longingly. And you can tell he's like, turn around, babe. Come with me. And then she shuts the door on him.
Regretfully. Just like she had a face of regret. Yeah.
It was so regretful.
So sad. I mean, there was other shit going down in the movie, of course. But we're only focusing on the romance.
That's right. You want that other shit, go see the movie.
Right.
You're focusing on the Kylo and the Rey part of the story.
This is all we're talking about. And you know what? I give this movie a 5, and I'm so excited for the next one.
I give this movie a 5 million.
I'm so excited.
A 5 just does not do this movie justice. It's a 5 million.
Yeah, right.
And I cannot wait for the final one. Like, I am literally screaming internally.
I know. I left the movie theater and I said to Dan, wow, I hate the fact that now we have to wait for the next one.
I know. It's like not coming out till 2019. Yeah. Oh, so funny.
There better be a kiss.
There better be a kiss.
Or we riot. or we
there
riot.
Better be a kiss or we riot. Yes, they have to be together. You know what would be great? If she got forced pregnant by him.
Oh my god. What if there's like a sex scene, but not really a sex scene because it's one of those mind things, but she does get pregnant.
Yeah, like how Anakin Skywalker got pregnant. Or Anakin Skywalker's mom.
I was about to say.
Me. Shmi Skywalker got pregnant.
Right.
Like, if they do it that way. You know, like, wouldn't it be awesome if Snoke, like, I mean, like, that finger touch?
Oh, let's just talk about Snoke, though. He played matchmaker. That was his role.
He did. Oh, my God, yeah. So, one of the big reveals is you think Kylo and Rey have this amazing, you know, like,
connection.
And then later on you find out that it was really Snoke manipulating the two of them because he knew that they were both weak.
But now that you think about it, do you think he was just using that as leverage, though? Because he knew what was going on between the two of them and taking credit for that.
I think that that is actually a very good theory, especially based on the fact that they were able to
still do it after.
After he was dead, yes.
Ooh.
Like, why not? You know, they don't understand how it's happening. He has the ability to tap into Kylo Ren's mind.
Right.
I mean, why would Snoke choose that specific moment? You know, like, oh, I'm going to wait for Kylo Ren to take his shirt off and then pop the two of them together. Like, I don't think Snoke... I don't think Snoke knows how...
How teenage girls are.
I don't... Like, I think Snoke would catch her while they're eating or something,
right,
or pooping.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I think he knew what was going on. He took credit for it. Like, it wasn't
right.
Something he actually did, but he said that he was doing it so he could take credit for it and to piss on both their dreams.
To add more confusion, you know? I mean, because he wants to keep Kylo under his control.
Right.
And then he did tell Kylo to kill Rey. And I think maybe deep down, Kylo and Rey knew that it
wasn't him doing it.
Or at least Kylo knew.
Right.
Because that's why he killed Snoke, you know?
He was just like, you're a fucking liar. My love is real.
Mm-hmm. Our love is real. Our love is eternal. Literally.
Anyways, we should probably wrap up the show.
Yeah, I think that ends it.
Right. I hope everyone enjoyed everything in the show.
You know what I just realized?
What?
So, Alan Z has come on our show a second time. Rey and Kylo Ren met twice, and it's a charm. This episode is literally
second time charm. That's true.
At this time, we would like to thank you for joining us here at the Horror Club. Please feel free to like our Twitter page, Instagram, and Facebook, as well as listen to all of our previous episodes on our website, horrorclubpodbean.com. Like, comment, and share, because we just love. And if you really hated your time with us today, sorry, we're not sorry.
All you gotta say is yes. Stay through the A and the P.M. Swear that you got next.